Tell us about the writing of the album. Sans Merit, when we first spoke, sounded like it was going to be a one-off. What brought you to come back to this project, and what was the impetus of the album?
It was like I said, it was a bit of a one-off. And when I made it, I kind of had no idea what I was doing. I knew I wanted to make a rocky band album, but I really didn't know what I wanted to do with it. And I don't know, this one has been written so much more different. Like when I did Early Grave, I was listening to like John Mouse and like, you know, all these like, and Beat Rhythm Fashion and all these, you know, crazy.
Oh, I forgot
and
that you know them.
Yeah, the best. And and all these like electronic, because I came from electronic music, and then I was listening to band music, listening to Girling, and I was listening to, you know, Lush and all these shoegaze and whatever, all this like rock music and stuff. And then, so I put this album together, and then I tried to play it live a couple of times, and it was, although sonically quite cool, it was so all over the place. Like, so trying to, it almost like made no sense. It felt like someone who doesn't know anything about songwriting. It like has this naivety, and then with this album, the importance that I sort of put on this album is that, you know, I kind of took the time and tried to stretch my songwriting, my abilities, and tried to listen to a lot of different stuff in between. And I didn't want it to be the same as Early Grave, but obviously a next step. Writing songs and in a way that's like of traditional song structure, but then also being a little bit experimental at times, but songs that have meanings even if they're not really obvious. You know, my songwriting is very strange like that. I don't sit there and go, oh, I'm gonna write a song about this thing that happened. I just write the music. I'm a music first person, and then lyrics come later. But then as I'm sort of pulling it all together, there is a meaning and purpose behind everything. I guess I came back and did it again because making Early Grave felt like I actually made something real, because in dance music everything just felt like tracks and things, and I felt like I wanted to make something with that felt proper and real, and it felt real, and I liked that it felt real, so then I wanted to do it again.
I feel as though the track listing on the album feels really thought out, and it has this, it's kind of own broader story in and of itself. Was there anything that had some like conscientious thought behind when you were putting the album together?
So there was this album that I listened to that pretty much became the biggest inspiration of the album, and it was an album called Nature and Organization, which is Michael Cashmore. Yeah. The album's called The Beauty Reaps the Blood of Solitude. Listen to a lot of neo-folk, like a lot of acoustic guitar that you can obviously hear in this album. There's just so much acoustic through it. I kind of just like, while writing it, I just bought this new guitar, and it kind of just kept coming back into every time I'd write a song. I was like, oh, that sounds pretty good. But he has just like structurally written this album that I think in my mind is the perfect album. And it's just so, it's like, it sort of waffles between orchestral strings and then the next bit and the next bit. My album doesn't sound like that, but I guess sort of to go on to what I was saying before about the last album and just being the last album being this really weird formless album, I think I just realized when writing Trolley Polly that I really wanted to make, I think like I wanted everything to be extremely considered, and because a lot of the albums and music and artists that I love, I love them because everything they do is so thought through, and there are certain records in my opinion that just the way they go from one song to the next is so satisfying. I just could only hope that I could reach something even, you know, near that.
And the last time we spoke, we talked about the sampling that you did on Early Grave, and it's come back around this time, if I'm not wrong, on My Mercy Is Not Free, especially at the woman's voice at the very end of the song.
Glad you asked about that, because I was wanting to talk about that.
Gorgeous.
It's not a sample.
Okay.
It was an email I got. It was a junk email I got. That was a person trying to, it's just like one of those, hello, please send me $10 million. You know those scam emails?
Yeah,
that comes
yeah, yeah.
This was one that said, I have recorded you on your laptop watching nefarious content and like, I'm going to send this to all of your contacts. You need to send me 10,000 Bitcoin or your life is ruined. But there was these lines in the text that was so wild and poetically strange and epic. And you can see it because I think it goes, better late than never. I'm some kind of God who sees everything, and don't panic, because as we know, God is merciful and forgiving, and so do I. It says, and so do I, which is so like grammatically incorrect. It was such a clear spam email, but it was so epic. I used to play lots of fantasy video games, so I wanted it to sound like this like ethereal orb God woman that's like,
right.
I am God and you are under my spell or something. Yeah, it's just, I guess it's a sample, but it's really a spam email.
Better late than never. I'm some kind of God who sees everything. However, don't panic. As we know, God is merciful and forgiving. And so do I
think that there are a lot of people who this comes like very naturally to, and I, melody and putting music together as like a long time music producer, these elements, I know what sounds good to me, and I know, you know, when I put these strings with an acoustic, I know they sound beautiful, right? Or I'm always trying to do things that really evoke an emotion out of myself, and I know when I've got that. When it comes to, you know, writing a song that kind of goes start to finish, oh, the song is finished. I think because I really do, and I can't help this, like I definitely do compare myself to others. I know who I am and I know what I'm trying to write with my music that makes sense to me. But I suppose it's a form of perfectionism, but it's not so crippling that I'm unable to do stuff. There's always going to be a point that I say, okay, like I can finish this. But the road was long. It was a lot of, you know, I really pushed it to the limit, you know, because Mark from Nickel Hewis, who put this out, he's just like, can we get the mix downs ready and stuff? And I was like, wait, I got to add this bit. I got to do this. And I was, you know, to the very last thing, I was just tinkering and get it to a point that I was finally happy. So the last 10% was mental, like just... Yeah. Going absolutely insane and just to the point that, you know, I'd go to sleep and this stuff was just flying around in my head. And it was the hardest I've ever worked, from my own fault, basically. it wasn't anyone else to blame for why this took as long as it did than just me. I've got a couple of Kiwi mates over here in LA, and they're like, because before the very first time you hit me up,
yeah,
I was like, can we chat about your music? I told my friends, like, I was like, what is this? And they're like, oh yeah, it's really sick.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's cool. Like a couple of old heads, and I was like, fucking, alright, yeah. Cool. Definitely cut out the dublab, but when I'm like, hey, Merritt says that BFM is shit.
I love BFM. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We all love BFM. That's...
Oh. culture thing.
Papers in my...